You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the very serious and dignified pop and geek culture show, Nerd Overload. Today we will be discussing several comings and goings in the world of geek and pop culture news. I am the very dignified Cody.
I am the random interloper, Jordan Taylor.
I am the quite distinguished Josh Harrison.
And I'm the sophisticated lady, Samantha.
Hey, everybody, we got a great show for you today. And, of course, you know, before we get into the news, we have this wonderful segment we like to call Check It Out.
Press the button. Check it out!
I'm glad you've been instructed in the ways of the soundboard.
Thank you. It took me a second.
I've got nothing, unless you just want to hear me talk about Among Us.
We did that last two shows.
I know.
We can't do that again.
That's all I've been doing.
I still haven't played it, and I don't know why.
You're afraid?
Yeah. I'm afraid I'll like it too much. No. It's just one of those things where it's like everybody's talking about this and it's making me not want to play it. I have to be the contrarian about
Well, it has kind of reopened my interest in social deduction gaming. I went to a friend's house and we played some Jackbox games.
Oh, nice.
And there's one that's a social deduction game.
Is it Press the Button?
Yes, Press the Button.
Yeah, that one.
I had never played that one before. And so that was interesting to see my sister lie through her teeth.
We played that with my mom and my brother and his boyfriend, and we like couldn't figure out exactly what was going on, and it was just kind of just like things happened and then it was over.
Oh, it's to say the aliens won every time. Yeah. And I was like, huh.
I'm a terrible liar. I always get caught at that game. They're like, you are the alien. Yeah, I'm like, maybe.
I'm the same way. I don't like lying, and I'm not good at it.
I did download this one free social deduction game on Steam called Enemy Inside, I think is what it's called. It's not very good. It's very simple. Like, you're on a spaceship. That seems to be the theme lately. And there are two of the players are aliens, but they have like their own alien kind of powers. Like, they can lay eggs and create traps and things like that. And they eventually will evolve into a murder alien and you can die. But then the human players get weapons, but you just don't know who the alien is. And then randomly the generators on the ship or something go bad and you have to go fix them and hope you don't get murdered when you go to fix them.
So it's like a little bit more video gamey.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's definitely a lot more video gamey. I played it a little bit. It ran like garbage, and I didn't enjoy it. Like, I thought Town of Salem was more fun, and Town of Salem is basically just werewolf with cute pictures.
Have you guys played the Role Models one in Jackbox?
That sounds familiar, but I can't remember how it works.
It's the science-y themed one where you have to group all your friends into different roles.
Oh, we saw that one, but we were playing with people we didn't know very well, so we didn't think it would work out.
No, it wouldn't work very well, but it's kind of neat, because like, they'll give you like Seinfeld characters, and then you assign each friend to their corresponding Seinfeld character, and then it compares what everybody picked.
Huh.
I feel like that could ruin friendships.
Yeah, possibly.
A lot of Jackbox games are that way.
I don't know.
I thought that one was pretty fun.
I don't want to be the Kramer.
I think
I was the Kramer, yeah. I thought I would be the George, but I was the Kramer.
Was there even a George? I don't remember.
You were the Elaine, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, she's the only female character.
You were the only girl.
No, your mom's
there. Yeah, my mom was playing too. I forgot who she got.
I don't know. Only problem with that is sometimes you just kind of have to like, I guess.
Yeah, you just get like, well, none of these fit now, so I'm just going to throw somebody in this one.
Just kind of wing it.
Mm-hmm. Or you get one that's like, kind of blue and like awkward, and it's like, well, I'll put myself on that one because I don't feel comfortable giving it to anyone else.
We watched a mystery science theater called Samson and the Vampire Women.
Oh, I've seen that one, but it was so long ago.
I know.
It's got
familiar.
Like some luchador is the main character, and so
what,
there's
Sam in a luchador movie. Ooh, who saw that coming?
But yeah, it was actually, it was pretty good. It's, you know, quality garbage.
Yeah. Like you expect from your Mystery Science Theater 3000s.
Yes. It was a good time.
I know. I saw you guys watch Puma Man.
Yes, we did.
That is my absolute favorite Mystery Science Theater episode.
Puma Man.
Yeah.
He flies like a moron.
He has the power to reproject major cities. That's my absolute favorite episode.
I kiss my toad in your honor.
Yeah. Is that an old one or a newer one?
It's an old one. It's a Mike one.
Okay. Man, I haven't watched like any Mystery Science 3000 in so long.
I still haven't finished the last new season. We were about halfway through the gauntlet and then didn't finish it. Probably should.
That's a good teaser, though, because we have news about Mystery Science
Theater. Stick around.
That's true.
You guys watching your spooky movies for October this year?
We've been watching some, but not with the regularity that we have in the past. We haven't done one a day. But, see, we watched one, was it Nocturne, the other night? There was one of those Blumhouse Amazon ones. One of those, there's like a Blumhouse deal with Amazon where they're doing like four new movies, and this was one of them. It was about it was a music high school student.
It was an art school,
It was an art high school, and
what?
She's competing with her twin sister for some kind of big time concert thing, and she finds the notebook of a musician who killed herself, and just starts going crazy. Like you do.
As one does.
It was pretty good. The ending is super...
Predictable?
No.
Ambiguous.
Ambiguous. Oh. Yes, that's the word. It's incredibly ambiguous.
You don't know what the end is.
Yeah.
To the point
where it's like, well, it's not
almost
very...
choose your own adventure. Yeah. It's like, that bad.
It makes the whole rest of the movie not particularly fulfilling. But I wouldn't say it was bad either. It was
different.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't particularly spooky or anything either. I mean, kind of. It was kind of creepy.
My favorite horror movies are definitely psychological horror films. Yeah. That's also my aberration for, like, you know, all things gory.
I love gory.
Oh, yeah. I hate it.
I love gory movies. Okay. We watched From Beyond, a Stuart Gordon movie that was very gross. It's the H.P. Lovecraft From Beyond. It's by the same guys that did Reanimator.
Oh, okay.
And it has Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton in it, like Reanimator. And it was just, it was a good time. It was wild.
Would you say it was buck wild?
Yes, it is buck wild. A pervert scientist builds a machine that lets him see into, you know, another dimension that is concurrent with ours, but we can't see it and they can't see us.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
You know, horrible fish monsters, and then the guy dies, and he ends up going over to the other realm, and he comes back as a horrible animatronic,
fleshy blob
monster monstrosity. It's so gross and cool.
Is it like kind of like Cronenbergian? Or?
Oh yeah, yep. It's like they're working their way to that movie Society. Like it's almost the. The shunting scene from Society, but not quite that gross yet.
One of the reasons, did you want to keep talking about that or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's one point where Jeffrey Combs' character gets like absorbed into the big bad guy monster man. And their two like skulls are moving around in the flesh and the skulls look like they're fighting. It's like two skulls fighting. It's like, that is so ridiculous and cool. It's fighting skulls.
Skulls of the Shogun.
But one of the reasons why we haven't been watching so many spooky movies is probably because, what's it called? That Netflix show.
Oh, The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Yeah, we've been kind of watching that.
Oh, I've heard that's good, but I don't know anything about it. And it has the word haunting in it, so I probably won't watch it.
Oh, do you not like ghosts?
No.
No.
This show's chock full of them.
They just stand in the background.
Yeah, sometimes just stuff will walk by in the background with no explanation.
Huh.
I guess the basis of it is this American lady in the 80s becomes an au pair for two...
I'm gonna stop you there.
What?
Talk about that funny moment we had. Like, man, she's dressed weird.
Oh yeah, because I didn't realize it took place in the 80s. I missed the card that said it's 1986, and I'm like, why is she dressed like that?
You have terrible fashion taste. Yeah.
Well, because everybody else is like fancy British children and maids and cooks, and it's like, so this lady just looks like, why is she dressed like it's 1986? Because it is.
Did she come from like a Cyndi Lauper contest? What is this?
She had like the mom jeans and the
like poofy hair.
Yeah, a little bit, not terribly.
But she becomes an au pair for these creepy British children.
That, aren't they all?
Yeah, that whose parents have just died and their previous au pair died. And they live in this big creepy mansion where creepy stuff happens. And it's good. I think so far I liked Hill House better, even though we never finished Hill House. We watched all of Hill House but the last episode.
I feel like it's going to get real.
Yeah, I think you were scared. I think you were too scared.
I think you were scared.
Ooh, it sounds like you need to have a spoop off.
Who is more scared of the show? And do we watch it anyways?
But Bly Manor is good. I would recommend.
I wouldn't say it's super scary or anything. No,
it's more creepy than scary.
Yeah, I don't mind creepy. It's just I can't get into like gore and
It hasn't been gory at all.
So it's not 13 Ghosts.
It's more 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo. No.
It's more just kind of like a creepy feeling, weird. I don't know.
Like a gothic horror kind of thing.
You know, speaking of like gothic horror and stuff like that, I tried so hard to like the movie Crimson Peak.
Oh, I've been meaning to watch that one.
Man, it is not good. Like I haven't watched it in years. And I mean like since it came out. And like, you know, you think... You know, it's got like Tom Hiddleston in it and ghosts and all kinds of stuff. No, it is a bad movie.
Oh,
like I love Del Toro. And I'm like, I love his stuff. And I'm like, no, this, they even got friend of the show, Doug Jones in there playing a spooky old lady ghost.
What if they combined Tom Hiddleston and Tom Hanks and made a Tom Hankleston?
I don't know.
I don't have anywhere to go with that. I just wanted to say Tom Hankleston.
Like they just glue them together and now they're one person?
Yeah.
No, I don't like it. No.
I don't think anybody likes it.
He has the wholesomeness of a Tom Hanks, but with the rapscallionness of a Tom Hiddleston.
A Tale of Two Toms?
Yeah. I played a little bit of Baldur's Gate 3. That's something.
Man, I keep meaning to like... try that.
It's good. And I can't usually get into like turn-based I like turn-based RPGs, but when there's like a lot of movement and a lot of like tactics on top of it, I usually get bored pretty quick. But this one plays so close to actual Dungeons and Dragons rules, and I've been playing actual Dungeons and Dragons, so I like understand how all of the systems, you know, go together.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it makes it a lot of fun, actually.
Like, I love the old Baldur's Gate games and the original Neverwinter Nights game.
But it's exactly 5e, like, okay. Same spells, same movement, same rules, like, to a T, almost.
That sounds about right, because the old Baldur's Gate was... Jeez, I want to say Baldur's Gate 2 was either AD&D or it might have been 3.0. I can't really even remember now. I remember it being really like spot on as far as like, you know, the D&D system working as far as video games go. And that's why I liked Neverwinter Nights, because the 3.0, 3.5. And then they came out in Neverwinter Nights 2 and it's definitely not as good. But also, you know, Obsidian made that one. So, you know, it's like comparing like Knights of the Republic and Knights of the Republic 2.
It's really hard, though, also. Like, well, it was for me, anyway. Like, there's this... Like, after you get through most of the opening sequence and you're actually kind of set loose on this island, it took me, like, 4 or 5 times just to not get killed in the first encounter with some walking brains. Some intellect devourers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it opens on... You're on, a mind flayer octopus ship... And they put a little, like, this weird wormy thing in your eyeball.
Ew.
That's going to make you turn into a mind flayer if you don't find somebody to heal it.
Huh.
So that's kind of that's the narrative device to push you forward. You got to get your brain worm out.
Man, that's like going some straight for some like Lovecraft territory right there. Because everything involving like mind flayers and stuff goes that way.
Oh yeah, a lot of squid, a lot of tentacles, a lot of squid men. A lot of exposed brains.
That's what they do.
Wow, that sounds super gross.
Oh, man. There was a book back in 3.5 called The Lords of Madness, and it was all about like mind flayer stuff. And there's some gross pictures in that book. Like there was like a mind flayer class called the Mind Flayer Savant. And basically any person you ate the brain of, you gained their skills.
Mm-hmm.
It was dumb.
The character creator wasn't as...
intuitive?
Not expansive as I thought it would be.
Okay.
It might be because it's early access and they're not completely done with it yet. But, like, I figured there'd be some sliders. I figured there'd be, like, some serious Monster Factory level stuff you could do. But you just pick from a bunch of predetermined faces and pieces.
Oh, boo.
Yeah. So there's not going to be a Monster Factory for Baldur's Gate, unfortunately.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're probably not going to see that character's face all that much.
No, you do.
Oh, do
it's
you?
It's third person. Yeah, huh. you can zoom around and move your camera wherever you want, look at whatever you want.
I think I more meant like helmets and stuff.
Oh.
You know, put your hat on.
I don't know. I'm playing as a wizard, so not wearing a helmet.
Well, then you need a hat. You need to show off your, you know, magician skills.
I haven't gotten far enough to get a hat.
Oh, man. Your first character is a wizard, huh?
Yeah. I just remade the character that I've been playing
in
actual Dungeons & Dragons.
Nerd.
The necromancer
it's
mortician.
A good thing you're here.
Yeah. The necromancer mortician Mortimer Dumort.
Solid name.
Thank you.
Oh, man. There's this webcomic I've been reading called The Weekly Roll, and it's a black and white D&D based comic. Like, it's more kind of funny than anything. Like, it's not real serious or anything like that. But man, some of the stuff in it is just great. Like, there's this paladin, and he's just so done with his party. His party involves a halfling wizard who is kind of a thief, but I'm not sure he's a rogue. And then there's like this barbarian half-orc girl who's the halfling's girlfriend, and she's like a psychopath. And then they eventually pick up this dwarven necromancer who like wears like thick stone armor, and all you see is like his like just glowing bits where his eyes are. It's a weird comic, and it's kind of funny. Like the newest one they just came out with was like the paladin goes running into a shop, and he's like, "Do you sell magical weapons?" And the guy's like, "No, you know," and he's like, fine, I'll buy all your silver coins. And he's like, "Do you know we have a werewolf infestation?" He goes, "And a sock." And then in the next panel, you see this werewolf tearing into some guy. And then the paladin like reaches up with his like his blackjack sock full of silver coins. And he says, "Sup, dog." It's so dumb. But I chuckle. Like, I've been chuckling, like, reading all these panels. I don't know. For some reason, it tickles my funny bone.
I recently finished an audiobook, if that counts as a thing to check out.
It does.
Yeah.
It's called Magic. It's called by Angie Sage, and it's the first book in a series about a boy called Septimus Heap, who is the seventh son of a seventh son, so therefore he is magic. It was pretty good. I saw it recommended on some list, and I read it.
You know what?
Well, the audio read it to me.
I think I can see the cover, because I think I've seen the book on like shelf before.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I liked the way she writes and stuff. I feel like the only real problem I had is that the book says like book one in the Septimus Heap Chronicles or whatever. But at the beginning of the book, they tell you Septimus Heap is dead. And then that kind of spoils the fact that he's not. He's not dead.
Yeah, that kind of works against it.
And then by the end, they're like, "Oh, he's not dead." Like, well, I figured that out already.
Yeah. You got six more books.
Or what if it's like a John dies at the end kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he just dies again. Like, nope, yeah, still dead.
Maybe he dies every book. I don't know.
That would be funny. Yeah. Like, oh, no, he's dead again.
They killed Septimus.
For the seventh time. Oh, no.
Seventh death of a seventh son. But you enjoy it? You like it? You like the way it flows?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I requested the second book in the series. And I've been listening to a bunch of audiobooks on the Libby app when I drive to work. You get them from the library, and it's pretty awesome.
That's so funny, because literally just yesterday I was talking to Cody about getting library cards so we could do that.
You were literally looking at the website.
That is so funny.
You should. I highly recommend the app. I read books on there too, but the audiobook feature is really nice. This one was like more produced, like... At the beginning of chapters, like music stings would kick in, and the guy is like doing voices as you should when you read a book.
Definitely. But
yeah, I highly recommend it.
Cool.
Remember those books you get as a kid that also had a tape that was like, when you hear this sound, turn the page.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
And what if they did that with audiobooks for adults?
Like you're just sitting there reading along.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. That's like something I haven't thought about in a really long time.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it's triggering a memory in my head of this Teddy Ruxpin.
Oh, no.
Don't say that.
Don't. Yeah. Don't think about it.
You guys don't like Teddy Ruxpin?
Oh, look away.
I had one, and I wouldn't be in the same room with it. It was my sister's. I would not.
Like, all it was just an animatronic tape player.
And it was horrifying. Yes.
Oh, that was really loud, too. Like, I'm remembering, like, hearing, like, the motors in the face move the mouth.
I think I had a Mickey Mouse-themed one.
But I remember putting, like, tapes that weren't Teddy and Ruxpin tapes inside it.
You put your Slayer tape in there.
I had Iron Maiden. 2XL, and I would put... Like Mary Kate and Ashley tapes.
Very nice.
Oh God.
Oh wait, don't we have a sound bite for that?
Yeah.
It's ruining the joke because I can't find it.
Don't worry, it can be edited to be real snappy.
That's true, except for some reason I saw it on here before and I really, really don't see it. Oh, there it is.
Wow, wow, is very nice.
Oh, excellent timing. Okay, so from there, we are about out of time for the first half, so...
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Do some music.
God,
that's how we do it, isn't it?
Somebody do a better outro.
Wrap it up. Let's do some music.
Hey, we're back. That was A Nightmare on My Street by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Why did we pick that song, Cody?
That's a Halloween classic. Those Will Smith feel-good raps and rhymes, but this time about Freddy Krueger.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah, I think we usually play it at Halloween times.
That's true.
It's probably a good time for Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. So let's move on to the second half of the show where we talk about the news.
Gold. That's why we're an award-winning, internet podcast.
Yes, very nice.
What do you want to start with?
Oh, I thought you were going to play the sound.
Oh,
sorry.
Wow, wow, is very nice.
Let's just start at the top of the list with they announced they are officially doing a Mad Max spinoff movie about Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road. And they have cast some of it already as well.
Is it supposed to be like a prequel to Fury Road?
Yes.
Interesting.
Do you think does she not have an arm? Yeah, she doesn't have an arm.
Yeah, she's right, got right. Yeah. I imagine they will.
She's been disarmed.
They have cast Anya Taylor-Joy. Not sure who that is. Do I know who that? What is she from? Probably
I have
something.
No idea.
She's playing the younger version of Furiosa, obviously. And a man you may have heard of by the name of Chris Hemsworth.
Nice.
And Yahya Abdul Mateen II, which I'm not sure who that is either. I should do like some research into these things before we talk about them. But I'm very excited about this because Fury Road was an amazing movie that I loved very much.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like an interesting concept for them to go back and tell her story before she ended up doing the Fury Road things.
Well, by the way, that guy, you had trouble pronouncing his name, he was Black Manta in Aquaman.
Oh.
Nice.
But Fury Road was Furiosa's movie more than it was even Mad Max's movie.
Oh, like, for sure.
Like, yeah. I haven't watched the movie, but that's basically everything I heard is Mad Max is basically just kind of like a set piece. He's not even really the real hero of the show. Or the movie, I should say.
I mean, he's there and he helps. And like, what more could you expect out of him? Like, what else was he supposed to do? He's the action man. He's gonna do the action stuff, and Furiosa is too. And I'm just excited for more because, God, that movie was so good.
I keep feeling bad because I haven't seen it because I love the Mad Max universe. Like,
go home and watch it
immediately.
Yeah, like I'm not even joking.
All right, bye.
All right, so what's next on the list?
There's rumors floating around that they... I'm just going straight down the list at this point. There's rumors floating around that they might do a miniature Dreamcast console like they did that little miniature
Genesis.
Nintendo and little miniature Genesis. Yeah, Sega might be going back to that well again, and this time with the Genesis. I didn't check where the rumor came from, but I don't know how much stock I put into it because the Dreamcast is a lot more complicated of a piece of hardware than the Sega Genesis.
True.
Also, its well of games is not that great.
So what games do you think would come with it? Choo-Choo Rocket?
Yeah, Choo-Choo Rocket, Sonic Adventure, Sonic Adventure 2, Space Channel 5. You'd have to cut out any of them that has like some kind of weird controller like Sega Bass Fishing or Samba de Amigo.
Crazy Taxi?
Yeah, Crazy Taxi, Jet Set Radio.
You said that, I think.
Did I say Jet Set Radio?
Or no, well, you said Space Channel 5.
Okay. Jet Set Radio could be on there twice because it's so good. And I don't know what else. Like, that's the big one.
I remember when it came out, my cousin got it. Like, it was like a day one thing. And he got, like, Toy Commander. That was a weird game. It was fun, but it was weird. Where you, like, kind of, like, roll around and, like, toy. It was like a vehicle battle game, kind of like a Twisted Metal kind of thing. But it's in the theme of you are toys rolling around.
It sounds like an Army Men knockoff.
Kind of. Man, I miss the old Army Men games. Those were so much fun.
Yeah, that was a clever idea.
You know, melting them with, like, a flamethrower and stuff. It was so good.
But I don't see them doing this because it'd be a lot more cost effective to just port all these games to the Switch and sell them individually. Because they're not, I mean, they're old games, but they're not like, they don't feel as dated as a Genesis game. Like, you can put time into a Dreamcast game.
Yes and no.
Do you think anybody cared about the Dreamcast enough that they would do it just for the, like, gimmick of the nostalgia?
I mean, I did.
Yeah.
I loved the Dreamcast.
That's true. It's not going to have that, like, family appeal like the other ones do. Like, it doesn't have the nostalgia factor except for in a very niche subset of nerds and people like me that would buy it. Because I love the Dreamcast. I didn't get it until it was like already dead and I got it for cheap and I picked up like a whole bunch of games for like $3.
Nice.
But I had a good time with it. And
man, I remember the commercials and how like wild they were. Like the Shenmue commercials.
Oh, yeah, that's one they'd have to put on there. They'd have to put Shenmue on there.
Like, the Shenmue commercials were weird. Like, they toted how, like, the story was so epic that it, like, rewired the brain of this guy and he thought he was the hero of the game.
And he walked around asking people if they'd like to play Lucky Hit.
Or they've seen Sailors.
Yeah.
he's just karate punching people, every person in a tattoo studio.
And, like, a lot of the novelty of the Dreamcast was that it had a modem in it and could do online stuff. And, like, would they set that back up?
SegaNet was terrible. Yeah. It was absolutely the worst.
But if it came with a network-enabled version of Phantasy Star Online, I'd be all over it. I'd day one purchase that.
Well, of course you would. You loved that game.
Yeah, the original Phantasy Star Online is so good. So good.
How would they save it? Would it have a hard drive, or would they like go back to the VMU?
Well, that's the other thing. The VMU is so unique. How would you even do that? They'd have to cut out all those features. The VMU was the memory card for the Dreamcast, and it had a little screen and a little gamepad on it, so you could play like basically like Tamagotchi level games with it.
Huh. Like for Sonic Adventure, you got like a little
Chow.
Chow. I wanted to say Chow Chow, but it didn't sound right.
Just once.
Yeah, chow.
Just chow.
Chow.
And it was literally like a little Sonic character Tamagotchi that you carried around until your battery died.
Yeah. But you could link them together, too. Like,
yeah.
If you, like, you and a friend had it, you'd, like, plug them together and, like, either play a little game or you could transfer data?
I think so, yeah.
Or trade chows? Like Pokemon?
But so they'd have to cut out all those features unless they wanted to sell a bunch of VMUs again. Maybe they have a warehouse full of them. I don't know.
But also, like, I liked the Dreamcast controller.
It does have a deceptively good controller.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, the first Xbox controller was essentially a ripoff of it, and I hated it.
Yeah, and the current Xbox controller is kind of an evolution of the Dreamcast controller. So think about that one. I don't know. I can't see him doing it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it'd be interesting, but, again, like you said, they'd be better off just putting them off, like, on the Switch. It's like, here's the Dreamcast collection or something.
Yeah, I mean, they did it on Steam. You can get a Dreamcast collection on Steam, and it's got, like, Crazy Taxi and Space Channel 5.
But does it have, you know, Skies of Arcadia?
No.
Exactly.
They should port that to the Switch. I'd buy that. I've never played that.
I still have the GameCube re-release or whatever.
I could have played that today, but no, I played Killer 7 instead. There's a Kickstarter to bring everybody's favorite supermarket tabloid, Weekly World News, back into, like, physical production. Like,
oh,
they
yeah.
want to print it again.
Yeah.
Which, I think the majority of the novelty of Weekly World News is the fact that it exists.
So
like,
bad.
Like, it's printed. It's physically. Yeah. The stupid We're thing just, they wrote is there.
Just sitting at the supermarket line, just reading the weird.
Yeah, this was the tabloid that said stuff about Bat Boy or something about Elvis marrying Bigfoot. Like, that kind of crazy crap.
Like, Bigfoot scene at White House dinner. Stupid stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with really bad Photoshop pictures. It was just awful.
I'm really excited because I want to know what Bigfoot has been doing all this time. Like, where has he been that we haven't had this newspaper?
Honestly, I didn't even realize it wasn't in print anymore.
The people at the Sun are too cowardly to tell us where Bigfoot's having dinner now.
I have a memory of the magazine. One of my friends bought one, and we were reading it at lunch, and there was this article about an opera singer choking on a meatball and dying during a performance. So,
aww.
I know.
Why would she be eating a meatball during a performance?
Because she was so fat.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's very progressive of them.
All those, like,
I guess that musical is over.
It's like 2002 or whatever.
Well, thanks. They were trying to come back, but now you've gotten them canceled.
Sorry. I didn't think that went through.
I remember when I was younger, and they always had, like, those doom and gloom apocalypse, you know, Nostradamus prediction, yada,
oh,
yada,
yeah?
yada, yada. My sister would get worked up in such a tizzy when we were younger. She's like, the world's going to end by Christmas. Meh. Like, so upset. Oh. And I'm like, you know that's not real, right?
Last week they said Bat Boy was running for president.
I didn't know it was out of print because, like, their Facebook or whatever. Like, I've got, like, one Facebook friend that shares it, like, every day or every week.
Yeah, they have a website and a blog and everything, but it's not the same as physically seeing this
black and white
black
paper.
And white, yeah, dumb artifact in front of you.
Awful articles.
Yeah.
And always with Bat Boy. Oh, like the mascot they stuck with.
He is, their mascot officially is Bat Boy.
Do you think that he, at this point, he is like grown up Bat and he has Bat children? So there's younger Bat Boys, like a whole spawn of them?
Think. And they legally can't call him Batman.
That's true. He just has to be grown up Bat Boy.
Yeah.
Bat adult.
Middle-aged male bat person.
Again, that's Batman.
But anyway, I hope they make their goal, because actually I need to look into to maybe kickstart in Weekly World News. But moving on down the list, we've got Doctor Strange is set to appear in the whatever the next Spider-Man movie is going to be.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, Doctor Strange is one of my favorites because I like the Magic Man. And I guess what better way to replace Tony Stark than replace him with Magic Tony Stark?
That's a good point.
I think they could play off each other well.
I mean, I liked everyone's chemistry, like when they're all on screen in the last couple movies.
I think it's weird to have him mentor Spider-Man, who's not a magic character at all. But
maybe he just gravitates toward men with goatees?
Maybe. He's got a type.
I mean, that was basically a plot point of Far From Home. Oh, Mysterio looks kind of like Tony Stark when he puts on these sunglasses.
He just has issues with facial recognition.
Yeah.
It's like, are you Tony Stark? Yeah.
Close enough. Will you be my new surrogate daddy?
I mean, they better hurry up because, like, Tom Holland's growing up.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's like 24 now, and he's going to be... I mean, in the movies, it was Spider-Man's senior year last movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's at least going to be out of high school by that point. So that's... At least that's good. Because it would get weird.
Well, plus they could probably time jump it a little bit at this point, too.
Oh,
so, because isn't there supposed to be another Doctor Strange before there's another Spider-Man?
I don't know. I think so.
I thought there was one because it's got like a horror bent to it.
The something dimension or something of
with the word
the
madness in it.
Multiverse of madness.
Yeah,
there it is.
Oh, maybe that's where the multiverse angle comes into, like with like the rumors of Tobey Maguire.
I need to go talk to Doctor Strange because there's three different me's here.
They're all doing the bad cartoon Spider-Man pointing at each other. Like at the end of Spider-Verse.
Stop pointing, it's rude.
Honestly, if they don't bank on that meme, it's bad writers. They need to get fired. Because even the Sonic movie banked off Sonic memes.
That is true, we did.
Man, I still need to watch that Sonic movie.
It is surprisingly not terrible.
Yeah,
that's
I would
I've
second
heard.
That. Surprisingly not terrible.
And I'm not like a huge Sonic fanboy or anything, but I feel like I should see it.
Like yeah. I've played most of the games, and I don't want to say like I'm a fanboy either, but I got it. Like, it felt like that script of the movie was written by Sonic Twitter, if I were to be honest.
It's not going to give me the warm tinglies that Detective Pikachu did, like where I go, oh my god, there's this Pokemon, there's that one. Like, I was like legitimately just excited to see Pokemon on the screen.
And not be a fully animated feature?
Yeah, to see Pokemon like done realistically like that.
Well, somewhat.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all still Technicolor, you know, merchandise objects.
Yeah, they looked awesome though with like their textures and stuff. And
oh
like,
yeah, especially like in the Charizard cage fight.
Oh yeah, and like the Lickitung was the worst because he's the worst.
It really was.
Actually, I'm sorry. No, Mr. Mime is the worst.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he is literally a nightmare.
Yes, he is.
So, side point to your Weekly World News, it's raised $37,000 of its $50,000 goal, and it's about 7 days to go.
Oh, it's getting there. They could still make that.
There have been 468 backers.
That's a lot of money for that small amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Interesting.
There you go. They need your help to make dumb newspaper.
So it looks like we've got, is that Rambo in Mortal Kombat?
Yes. It's been announced and released, I think, since we've had a chance to talk about it. But they put Rambo in Mortal Kombat, apparently.
And Sylvester Stallone
does
the voice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like it seems to be like their whole shtick. Like every like guest character they've been throwing in is an 80s action movie character.
Oh.
And almost every one of them has been voiced by the actual actor who played that character, except for Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he did personally pick the voice actor who does him.
So. I mean, it's nice that they're putting that much effort into it, I guess. Like,
well, the first time I heard the RoboCop, I was like, he doesn't sound like him. And we looked it up, and I was like, oh, it is him.
It just, I don't know how I feel about it, because, like, I have now, keep in mind, I have not seen any of the Rambo films, but I know the first one is, like, surprisingly, like, anti-war, anti-conflict.
Oh, yeah, First Blood is a really good movie. Like, it's not like it's, you know, it's the next ones in the series where they're basically just, you know, calorie-filled action films of dumbness. Yeah. The fact that, you know, they made a spoof movie specifically making fun of them. Hot Shots Part 2, the sequel to Hot Shots, which was a Top Gun spoof movie. But yeah, First Blood is a really, really good movie. Like, it goes into the whole thing of, like, a Vietnam veteran coming home, dealing with people not liking Vietnam veterans.
Which you could argue that putting him in the over-the-top, like, violent, like, stupid world of Mortal Kombat is doing a disservice to that character and that, you know, particular message. But also there's, like, five or six other movies that do the same disservice. So I guess it kind of comes out even.
Oh, yeah, he's like definitely super cheesy 80s action hero in, like, most of the films. But I think the only ones that are really there are, like, the cappers. Like, there's First Blood, and there's, like, the most recent, like, Rambo Last Blood or whatever it's called that came out a couple years ago.
I feel like there's a joke in there about how the middle one should be called Middle Blood.
Middle Blood.
Malcolm in the Middle Blood.
It's kind of that way with RoboCop, too, being in there. Because, like, yeah, the movie is violent, but the movie itself is, like, making fun of the over-the-top violence that movies at the time had and that stuff like Mortal Kombat has. Like,
yeah.
The original RoboCop is making fun of stuff like Mortal Kombat. So then to put RoboCop into Mortal Kombat doing all that dumb stuff is, like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, but RoboCop also does shoot a guy in the wiener.
That's true.
In that film.
And also, just like Rambo, it has increasing sequels of
dumbness.
That get progressively worse. So, like, maybe the legacy of the character is really not that important after all.
And also, RoboCop had a TV series that was really bad. And a really bad remake.
What I'm saying is maybe RoboCop has already shot himself in the wiener at this point.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're thinking too hard into it and not so much just this is more like taking your toys out of the box and, like, who would win in a fight?
Yeah.
Rambo or a smoke ninja?
But this is our job, is to have the hot takes on.
This is true. Yeah. This is true.
I'm just trying to have a hot take over here.
Well, you know, you Rambo, you get over here. God, I went into Schwarzenegger. I can't even do it.
So in the vein of, like, 80s, 90s stuff in Mortal Kombat, are they going to add, like, Xena Warrior Princess? Because that would be pretty rad.
That would be awesome.
That would work really well. Either that or do, like, a Soul Calibur and throw Xena in there.
Yeah. She should be in Soul Calibur. Get Xena and Hercules in there.
No, just Xena.
Okay, just Xena.
It may be Gabrielle.
Yeah.
Or is it Gabrielle?
I think it was Gabrielle.
Oh, yeah, Gabrielle is the elf from Lord of the Rings.
I mean, well, I could get him in there, too.
She could do that, too.
I don't know my Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But not a dark queen, but a beautiful
one. Finish him.
Flawless. Wah, wah.
All right. So in the vein of things that have lately been canceled or delayed, which is unfortunately becoming common.
More and more the norm.
Yeah. Yes.
Glow, the show about the former female wrestling franchise, has been axed thanks to COVID. It was supposed to get one more season to, you know, tie it up.
Written and ready just to be made.
Yeah, just needed filmed. But
nope.
They decided rather than delaying it indefinitely, they would just straight up cancel it, which kind of stinks because it was a real good show that we just didn't watch all the episodes of. Like, it was really good.
I feel like you guys have a theme.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good, and I really liked it, but we got about halfway through the second season or third.
I don't remember anymore.
I don't know. Partway through one of the seasons and then just never went back. And I would have liked to have watched them all at some point, but now I just feel like, well, what's the point?
Yeah, if it's not going to actually wrap up in the end.
Yeah, because it was like now I don't know if I would recommend it because you're not going to get a full story, but like it was a really good show and really fun too. I guess you're better off just watching that documentary about the real glow. I forget what it's called, but that's a lot of fun.
That's a weird title.
That's not what it's called. Now I'm going to look it up.
Oh. Look what you did.
I know.
It probably was just called it's called Glow, the Story of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Straight to the point.
Yeah. And it is a really fun documentary that tells you all about
lady wrestling.
That particular lady wrestling. What do you call that when it's like a wrestling franchise like WWE and WCW? What is that called?
Well, except for the WCW doesn't exist anymore.
Well, I know, but it did it one time.
It's just a wrestling franchise? I think you just did it
yourself.
Okay,
yeah. The NWO and the NWO Red Wolfpack.
No, that was all part of WWF.
I know. I just wanted to list off all the stupid versions of NWO.
Though, speaking of
Wolfpack for life.
Oh, back when Hulk Hogan was Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah, Hollywood Hogan.
Because he didn't want to pay Marvel the rights to use the word Hulk.
So Marvel would leave him alone legally.
But no, I was somewhere. Where was I?
Paul Hollywood Hogan.
Paul Hollywood Hogan. He tells you he had a bad bake and then he chokeslams you into the table.
And he remains legally distinct.
Yeah. No, I think his actual name is Terry.
That's a bad break, brother. I can't do it. Someone else, too.
Bad break, brother. Anyway.
Hulkamania is running wild all over this cherry tart.
Oh, God, I did my George
McFly. It's biscuit week, brother.
Anyway, I went out to eat or something. I can't remember. But like, there was somewhere that had TVs, and they were playing wrestling, like, on the TV. And so
it was obviously a very classy establishment.
Was it the Olive Garden?
Yeah. It was probably, like, you know, like a Ruth Chris Steakhouse or...
I don't remember if it was Ralphie's or somewhere else. It might have been. Actually, I think it was Ralphie's. Anyway, not an endorsement.
It was a Red Lobster.
I watched the Power Rangers movie sitting in a Red Lobster. My dad had a meeting there because he used to be a manager, and he took us with there. And there was TVs, and there for some reason, as we played with toys and watched the Power Rangers movie in a Red Lobster.
Nice.
Fun story time.
Oh, Ivan Ooze. So anyway, so watching wrestling at a restaurant. So instead of doing the cardboard cutout thing like baseball's been doing, they have monitors sitting in the stands and people like actually watching wrestling, and you can see them on the monitors.
Dude, that's weird.
I don't like that. Weird.
Yeah, it is. We like see all these people with like headsets on and stuff, and like
they also do that in the background of the Dr. Phil show right now. There's just a wall of people behind him with like that are like nodding. And
yeah, good job, Dr. Phil.
Way to use that old timey Texas words.
Pseudo psychology.
I'm surprised Vince McMahon doesn't charge them like for a ticket, and then there's a camera sitting right there, and they get the view from the seat.
I mean, they probably do.
I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe Dr. Phil does that too.
That would make it more fun for like the audience person that you're not just watching the back of Dr. Phil's head, but
I don't know. But it was really odd, and I was like, I'm trying to decide what's worse, these lifeless cardboard cutouts that people are playing sports to, or watching a bunch of people live stream from the other side.
One of the Denver sports teams had South Park cutouts.
I saw that. It's like all the South Park characters.
I mean, if you're gonna do that, you might as well have fun with it.
I think there was also one where you could like pay to be one of the cutouts or whatever.
Yeah, so I saw that too. In the background. I think that was baseball.
Yeah.
What a weird, like it's weird to think about history when you're living in the middle of a moment, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just like I'm having like this epiphany. I don't know, but it'll be weird to look back on this time, like.
Yeah, see it from the other side.
Yeah, like decades down the road or something, once we have like a vaccine or whatever, and just like go back and look at pictures, everyone's wearing masks or hearing about all these things or just seeing the jokes about it.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
People watching, sports footage in the future be like, why is there cardboard cutouts in the audience? What the heck is that about?
Why are there no more people?
Yeah. Nobody likes this team. There's nobody there. Yeah. All right, so we got a few minutes left and about three more news topics. Where do you want to go?
I think we can get through the rest of them.
Yeah.
Just like every movie that was ever announced to come out it recently, they delayed the Dune movie. So it's not coming out anytime soon. I'll bet they delay it again.
We'll see.
Which is weird because they recently just came out with a bunch of those set photos and whatnot of the movie. Like everyone in costume doing stuff.
Hmm.
So it's like, is it shot? Is it not shot? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's shot. They just want to make sure everybody goes and sees it when it comes out.
I guess that's true.
I don't think Dune has the fan base to warrant a bunch of people
streaming it.
Well, I'm leaving their homes during a pandemic to see it.
Unlike War with Grandpa.
Yeah.
That exactly. Everybody will leave their homes for.
I've been reading Dune recently too. I started and it's pretty good. Like I'll be excited to see it in movie form.
I remember starting Dune in like the 7th grade and I couldn't get into it and I don't think I've picked it up since, but I have heard it's really good.
I've never watched it, but I watched the original movie. Patrick Stewart's in it.
Huh.
Is he the Dune?
No, he's not.
His head is the Dune.
Oh.
That was a mean bald joke, and I feel bad for saying it. Let's move on to the next thing. They've announced that they're doing a Mystery Science Theater Turkey Day event this year.
Yay.
Like they've done at least the last three or four.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like there's any kind of new content with it, unfortunately, but they are like doing a tiered voting system to let the fans decide which episodes they'll play during the marathon, which is neat.
Oh, that is an interesting take on that.
Yeah, you get to see what everybody's favorite episode is.
Okay, so what is everybody's favorite episode of Mystery Science Theater?
Well, Puma Man's my favorite. We talked about
that
earlier.
That's true, we did cover that already. The one I always remember for some reason is the Screaming Skull. I don't know if it's the first one I saw or what. Like, we watched it again recently and it's just okay, but... I actually really prefer Riff Tracks Live when they do like the shorts and they make fun of those.
Oh,
those
yeah,
are the best.
Good.
Shake hands with danger.
Yeah. Shake hands.
Corngrass.
It's corngrass. What's your favorite Mystery Science Theater?
Pooh Man's up there. Oh, what's that?
Are you going to say Prince of Space?
Yes. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't think
I thought maybe Prince of Space would be it.
Oh, how's that song go at the end?
Was there a song at the end?
Is that the one I'm thinking of? I don't remember.
No, you're thinking of Jet
Jaguar. Oh, Jet Jaguar, no. I don't know what Prince of Space. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. We like blue boot blacking. We like it very much.
I remember one of the first ones I ever watched was like a Gamera one or something like that. I can't remember.
Oh, nice.
Those are the ones that are hard to get a hold of these days because Japan... holds the rights to Gamera tightly.
I think they're on Shout Factory. When we were flipping through them, there were a bunch of them that had Gamera in the title, but I haven't seen any of those.
Maybe they've straightened that out since then. That'd be cool.
Yeah, they came out with a Gamera collection not that long ago.
Nice.
And they also, I think they released it about the same time they brought out the Ultraman collection. But by the way, so Patrick Stewart played Gunry Halleck.
Ah. Okay, I know who that is.
Okay. I don't
remember because it's been so long since I watched Dune.
nice.
So speaking in the vein of movies and things that probably shouldn't happen.
Bad movies. We don't know that. It might be good.
Yeah, this is true. So they released a trailer today. yeah, today for Monster Hunter, you know, the movie adaptation of the video game series about slaying giant monsters.
That doesn't particularly have a plot.
Nope.
I mean, it does, but it's not the point.
It's certainly not modern soldiers being sucked into another dimension to fight dragons.
Yeah, yeah. Mila Jovovich gets sucked into another dimension, or maybe the past, I don't know, to fight big monsters with modern weaponry and also Monster Hunter weaponry. And it doesn't fit the franchise at all.
How long has that video game been around? I don't know much about that one.
Been around since PS2?
Yeah, PS2 was the first Monster Hunter, so probably mid-2000s, 2004.
Huh. Yeah, that's kind of a long time to be now making a movie out of it.
Yeah.
Though it wasn't as popular back then as it is now.
No, it took a long while to...
Is it big in Japan?
Oh, it was huge in Japan. Yeah.
Is Godzilla.
Yeah. It floated the PSP in Japan. It kept it alive in Japan. It was so big. Huh. But it didn't catch on here in America until, like...
The last two?
Yeah, Monster Hunter World was huge. And then the one before that did...
Okay.
But now it's a big deal, and now we get this unfortunate-looking film. I mean, it's Paul W.S. Anderson, the guy that made all those Resident Evil movies that...
So it's going to be exactly like that. It's going to have names of things you know, but that's about it.
Yeah. It's just an opportunity to make his wife run around and fake shoot things with guns, I guess. Which, I mean, that's... whatever works.
Yeah, also, I mean, like, the CG looks cool. It didn't seem like there was a whole lot of plot happening there.
Yeah, it looks like they're true to the monster designs, at least. I think. I don't know that well. I don't know my Monster Hunter monsters that well.
They all just kind of look like big, scaly dragon boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, one looked kind of like a Triceratops, but...
Oh, there's lots of dinosaur-esque monsters in Monster Hunter.
Nice.
I don't know why they had to add this reverse Sonic movie narrative device where it's modern people have to go into the world of the game. Like, why can't we just have the movie take place in the world of the game? There's enough lore there. They could have done something with it, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like, the games aren't big on story, but they have a lot of lore and things going on that they could have made it work.
You think they'll have little cat people?
I feel like if they were gonna, they would have showed him.
Maybe. I don't know. It's first trailer.
It's true. Oh, man. They're not going to be in this movie, and it's going to be a real shame.
Yeah, in the game, you get this little cat person.
A palico.
Palico. companion.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And they just kind of run around with you, and you can dress them up in little outfits.
Oh, that's precious.
And they kind of fill in a role that another player would if you were playing multiplayer. So if you're playing by yourself, you get kind of assist from your little kitty cat man.
Aw, that's cute. All right, well, on that note, we're at about time.
So yeah, as our guest producer has said, Jordan, also thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes. Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
Come back anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you for pushing go button on the computer.
You're welcome. I did a very good go button job.
Yeah.
I'm very proud.
And so, manning the soundboard so well.
So you can find us each and every week at nerdoverload.com. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at nerdoverload now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can call us on the Nerd Overload hotline, 586-372-8020. And be careful not to butt dial us while you're ordering White Castle. Because that happened. That happened this week. Maybe we'll go into it in another show. I don't know. Give us a video game that you think would make a better movie than Monster Hunter.
Tetris.
Yeah.
You know, you probably could.
You can also find the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and more, and at WZMOFM.com.
I'd also like to thank David Pencil for the intro and outro music. You can find each and everything on DavidPencil.com.
My wife!
We'll see you next week.